The following is a paid advertisement of St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics. References to any specific product, services, or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by St. Anthony Hospital, Carroll Broadcasting, or its advertisers. The views expressed by the host or guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Welcome to the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. Dr. Godding specializes in joint preservation, reconstruction, and replacement surgery, and brings over 25 years of orthopedic excellence to St. Anthony Hospital and to the Carroll area. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Orthopedics, go to stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.
Good Sunday morning, Iowa. It's Dr. Rick Godding. Thank you for choosing to spend some time with me here this morning. My goodness, we are halfway through the summer and maybe even change. It depends on how you look at summer, right? So there's the technical season of summer, which I believe is June 20th. Of course, for me, it's when do the kids get out of school and when do they go back? That's the summer. of course, I'm clocking down. If you've been listening, my oldest is heading down to Mizzou. Five weekends. I have 5 weekends left with this little child that I have spent every single day with pretty much since she was born. And that's, man, it's really, yes, I know people get through it. It's definitely tough. I have to say this first one will be tough. And I think the second, I have two daughters. I think the second one will be tough as well. And my wife and I, you know, we'll just kind of be sitting there looking at ourselves that day she goes off to college. We're like, oh, okay, now, now what? But I recognize it's just that next life stage. I mean, it's interesting because I think you don't realize, well, I know you don't realize when you're off, heading off to college. I certainly didn't spend a lot of time thinking about the impact. So I lived alone with my mom when I was in high school. You know, the impact that it had on her is like, you know, probably even bigger because at the time she was not married and I was just out and she, it was different. So back then, everything's very different now, of course. I mean, they have these big, I'm sure all the schools do, Mizzou. I've heard now that Iowa has the same kind of thing. Big orientation weekend, the parents go, and there's all this information given across. And, you know, we got a letter in the mail, told us where we needed to be and when, and we registered. I drove up there once during the summer to register, and I think I spent a couple hours. And then we just moved in. And, of course, I lived in a fraternity house at Oklahoma State. You would move right into the fraternities. I don't know if they where they do that and where they don't do that, but that's how we did it. And of course, it was much cheaper because I could work in the kitchen at the fraternity, and then that was half price for your room and board. But anyway, I digress. But the point is, there's, you know, there's just so much more structure. I guess that's how life is anyway. You know, I get this little reel, these little reels that come to you, and I don't know if it was Facebook or Instagram. I think it was Facebook. And it talked about what July 4th, 1776 was. Now, I remember that. I was 6 at the time, but I definitely remember it because it was such a big deal. You know, the 200th birthday was such a big deal. And, you know, bigger parades than usual and bigger fireworks displays than usual. And, you know, but there was just a kind of a thing like this is how it was. And I remember, man, it was a different planet. I mean, seatbelts were completely optional. Playground stuff that would never pass the safety inspections now were just on every playground. These big metal animal swings that you would get on, like a horse. And they were huge and heavy. And boy, if you stood in front of one, you could get knocked right out. And, you know, just the it's interesting because it's the, you know, of course it's better now that we have kids in seatbelts and car seats rather than on your lap in the car, right? And it's it's absolutely 100% better that you don't sit in an airplane and somebody's smoking a cigarette next to you like when I was six. It's definitely, you know, better that there are much more safety structures for kids. But also, you know, kids don't have the freedom we had. Hey, I'm going out. I'll be back when the streetlights come on. You know, that kind of stuff. Where are you going? I don't know. Going to play. You know, those kind of things just. And you wonder what that does to a society. I mean, what is that? Where does that kind of an upbringing take us versus the kind of upbringing we had? And I guess we're finding out. I don't know. It's really interesting to me to think that, you know, you don't. I didn't think about it at the time, but you know, 50 years before 1976 was 1926. So that's as far away as these kids now are looking at. Oh, 1976. That's, you know, when we were young. Well, I mean, there weren't telephones, and there weren't. I mean, they might have existed, but people didn't really routinely have telephones, and most people didn't have cars. Television wasn't invented yet. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm just feeling time pass really quickly, and it definitely, you know, there's huge markers in your life, right? When you leave for college, when you get married, when you have your first kid, and when your first kid leaves for college. I think, and also, I guess the passing of your parents is monumental, but it doesn't affect you the way on the day-to-day. I mean, maybe some people, you know, I see my mom a lot, several days a week, but it's not the same as having your kid go off to college. As far as just, I'm just talking about life change. I'm not talking about emotion or anything like that. I'm just saying your life change. Like when you go off to college or your kid goes off to college, just such a huge life change. And obviously, since I talk about it so much on the show, thank you all very much for helping me process through this. But it's just what's kind of on the forefront. And I know it's not just me. I mean, all these kids. You know, I'm gonna miss these kids. I work in the yard. I'm actually, my youngest daughter's a sophomore, and so now I'm recruiting because I've had these boys working with me for, this is the, I think this is the third season they've worked with me, and they're seniors, right? And so now I'm having to start thinking, well, I only got the rest of the summer with these boys. When I say work with me, they work with me in the yard. I have a fairly big yard that needs a lot of work, and so does my mom. And so now I'm kind of, you know, recruiting that next set, the sophomores, the friends of my younger daughter, boys, and I would have girls, but no girls have expressed any interest in working in the yard with me. But it's nice to get out there with the boys and you know, we talk a little bit, and you know, I kind of hear about what's going on in their lives and really get to know them in a way. And I'm gonna miss these kids. A woman that works with my mom, with my wife, I was talking to her the other day, and she said, you know, you just miss that high school energy. And there's things you don't miss too. Believe me, there's things I'm not going to miss about having the high schoolers around. There's the chaos is really good to a point, and sometimes it's a little past the point where it's good, but it's just all part of the project, right? But yeah, so just cruising through the summer and thinking about how things are going to be so different in the fall. So I wanted to go over a little bit more. I wanted to really highlight some specifics because, again, we're talking about the Mako robot last week. The Mako robot is the robot we have here at St. Anthony's, which I use for knee replacements, and my partner uses for knee and hip replacements because I don't do hip replacements and he does. So we use it for all our lower extremity joint replacements. Now, I think one of the fundamental differences, I mean, just starting with the biggest difference in the, you know, just there's so many differences. So the Mako robot is a big, very heavy robot that you roll into the room and park and lock next to the bed. and then it has a big robotic arm, and on the end of that robotic arm is a saw. In what you going in before that, you get a three-dimensional CT scan of the knee or the hip. Now, so two things right there that are just giant differentiators between the Mako and the other, like the Rosa robot, the Zimmer one, I can't remember what the Smith and Nephew one, which isn't really even a robot, and the Johnson & Johnson one. They are mostly attached to the bed. So just from that framework there, there's a little bit less stability there, in my opinion. They work off x-rays instead of CT scans. So there's 100%, not 100%. It is 100% certain that they are working with less information about the fine details of the knee anatomy for that particular patient. There's just, I don't know how many thousands of times more information in a CT scan, a three-dimensional CT scan. So a three-dimensional CT scan, you can rotate it and look at the knee in any dimension and look at it as if it's floating out in front of you on that computer screen, whereas an x-ray is a front view and a side view. So there's just tremendous amount more information about the surface of the knee, little intricacies about like that. So those are two huge differentiators. One is that it's a big, heavy machine that has a robotic arm attached to it, and the other is that we're using a 3D CT scan. Now, some of the robot, quote-unquote robots, don't even really have a robotic arm. It's just the surgeon is freehanding the burr to make some cuts instead of a saw, and they're being freehanded with the complete instrument in the surgeon's hand. So I don't know how it can even be called robotic. I don't know that anybody's really challenged them on it, because what's the point? But it's really not robotic. Doesn't have it by the definition of what robotic is. It's just not. The Rosa, which is the Zimmer one, that one it does have its own. It is its own thing. In other words, it's not attached to the bed, and it does have a robotic arm. But all that robotic arm does is put the cutting block that we don't use anymore with the Mako. And the reason, so the Mako uses, so there's basically a trigger and a handle, and then at the end of that robotic arm there's the saw, the standard saw that you would use. Well, that saw is attached to the robotic arm on the Mako, and it's the only one. And the reason is because they had the patent on that, so none of the other ones can have a saw attached to the robotic arm. So you have with the Zimmer Rosa, which, again, I looked at all of these. I looked at all of these, and they're all a fraction of the cost of the Mako. They cost the hospital a lot less. They cost less per case. They're definitely more cost efficient for the hospital. But I wanted what is the absolute very best robot I can get, and I looked at them all, and I did demonstrations of them all, and it was just clear cut. It wasn't, in my opinion, there wasn't even any real competition. Anyway, I'm just giving you my opinion, and it's, I think it's reflected in the cost. I mean, the Mako costs about $1.5 million, and the Rosa costs about $400,000. So there's a huge difference in the price. So obviously, there's reasons that different institutions are getting different ones. The Rosa robot arm just puts the standard old fashioned cutting block where you want it, and then you drill it in and cut off of that cutting block. So again, there are some limitations in the level of accuracy that you can have with that, because you know, you're not able to do all of the, first of all, you're working off an x-ray, right? And second, so you really, I mean, you're putting it in a good position, I'm sure. I'm not saying they're in a bad position, but just the specificity, the amount of precision that you can get cutting with the saw on the end of the robotic arm using the 3D CT scan as a reference. Now, during the case, I can look at that 3D CT scan and I can reference it, and it shows me exactly like where I have cut and where I haven't cut. And if I start to go too deep, it stops me. If I go too superficial, it stops me. In other words, if I'm cutting more bone than I want, than I have planned, it stops me. See, once you put that cutting block on there with the Zimmer Rosa, you're just cutting. You're just cutting through the block. What I want to explain is, why did we choose the Mako? Why do we like the Mako so much? And that's basically the reason. And with, as far as the hips go, again, a lot of these robots don't even do total hips. Not sure which ones do. So the Rosa and the Velys, V-E-L-Y-S by DePue, that's the Johnson & Johnson one, they do total hips. But again, you know, if you listen to their marketing material, they say, oh, well, we do anatomic mapping, so we don't need a CT scan. Well, we do the same anatomic mapping, and we correlate it with the CT scan. So it's just, you know, I want to make it clear that out there are several different robotic platforms for total joint replacement, and that, again, you know, it's not a mistake that we have the Mako. We have the Mako not because we had a budget for a robot, but the budget was only this much, or, you know, we already used a particular type of implant. Now, I changed implants when I started using the Mako. I had been using a different brand, and I went to, so the Mako, you know, the Zimmer Rosa puts in Zimmer joints, the Velys puts in DePue joints, and the Mako puts in Stryker joints. Now, the Stryker Triathlon total knee system, Stryker had this total knee system, and then, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, bought the Mako platform. And then at first, the Mako was only able to do partial knees, and then they expanded it to total knees, and then they expanded it to total hips. And I believe that was only 8-10 years ago. And then 6 years ago, when I arrived at St. Anthony's, and I said, listen, you know, if you want to give the absolute best care for joint replacement, you would get a robot. And so because of that, I changed to Stryker joints, because it puts in Stryker joints. And also at that time, the Stryker Triathlon total knee replacement was the best-selling total knee replacement in the world and has the highest level of patient satisfaction with the what they call forgotten knee. So the percentage of patients that have a Stryker Triathlon total knee, the percentage of patients that have that total knee and have what they call forgotten knee, that means that they say they walk around and they forget they have a knee replacement in. That is the highest percentage. And so that's not even taking into account the Mako, which then makes it even better. And again, you know, from a perspective of my practice, I've gone from pretty much how everybody in the pre-robotic era, 85% of the knees are either satisfied or very satisfied. Well, now it's 95% for me. The percentage of patients that I have to do a manipulation on, I have done two knee manipulations in 6 years, and that's over 500 knees. And so all of these actual parameters, I have actually seen, because I've done a couple thousand knee replacements, I've actually seen a dramatic difference in how the patients do, visibly, tangibly, and recordably, because you record how many manipulations you were doing before. And you know, I was only here for a couple months before we started doing the Mako, but I can tell you, in all my other practices, before I got here, it was a 5-10% manipulation rate. That means you have to go back in and push the knee because it's not bending to where you want it to. I just don't say never, because I've had to do two, but I almost never have to do that anymore. And that is because of the techniques of how the Mako is so different than the non-Mako, because we don't have to do the ligamentous balancing. We don't have to strip ligaments off the side of the bone to make one side looser and one side tighter, because we've incorporated that into the bony cuts that we've made using the 3D CT scan and real-time modeling during the surgery. So just kind of wanted to go over that a little bit more. I mean, I'm very proud that we're able to have the Mako robot here. I'm very proud that St. Anthony's was, I think we were the fifth Mako in the state, and I still think there's only 12 or 14. I could have those numbers a little wrong, but I'm pretty certain at this point there's not 20 Makos in the state, and we are one of the smaller hospitals that has it. So it's a great platform. Dr. Dirks and I are very happy to use it. We're very dedicated to making sure that our patients have the absolute best of everything. And on the joint replacement side, it just kind of starts and ends with the Mako and the Striker joints that we put in. And our whole, I'm going to talk coming up on the whole pain platform and the whole joint program. Like, we have a joint replacement program here. Some hospitals don't have a whole program. We do have a whole program. Anyway, so have a wonderful summer or continue having a wonderful summer. I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here next week. But continue having a wonderful summer and be healthy out there. Stay hydrated and have a blessed week, Iowa.
This has been the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics, go to www.stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.